21 qualities of self-made millionaires. Here is what they are. I've studied the subject for decades, and here are the qualities. We know that there are certain qualities of self-made millionaires that you can learn that will make you wealthy. We know that it is more who you are on the inside than anything else that determines your success. It's because of the law of correspondence. If you think, act, and feel on the inside the way successful people do, then you get the same results on the outside that successful people get. It's as simple as that. My friend Les Brown says that if you want to accomplish something different from anything you've ever accomplished before, you must become someone different from anyone you've ever been before, which is a really great observation. If you want to accomplish something different on the outside, you have to accomplish it different on the inside. So, A, each of these qualities is indispensable to great success. Each of these qualities is indispensable to great success. In other words, you could be lacking just one of them, and that alone could hold you back more than you can imagine. And every one of the qualities, surprise, surprise, is learnable. You develop a quality by practicing it when it's called for. Remember, the natural reaction of each person is to revert to form, is to go back to doing what they were doing before, and to not do something new or different. You must go against your natural instincts to go back into your comfort zone and respond the same way you were doing before. There's a rule that says that if you do the opposite of your natural inclination in almost every situation, you'll probably never be wrong. You'll probably never make another mistake. We have to go against our natural inclinations. So, number one, give yourself a grade of 1 to 10 on each of these qualities. Quality number one, which we talked about in terms of goals, is dream big dreams. Dream big dreams. Imagine no limitations. Imagine you could be or do or have anything in the world. Imagine you were guaranteed of success in all your goals and dreams. If you were, what would your dreams be? You see, great men and women are those who allow themselves to dream. Children dream, children fantasize. Adults, unfortunately, shut down the dream factory, close it down, board it up, and then rain on other people's parades. Your job is to begin to dream and fantasize. Just like people who come to this country from other countries with nothing going for them, they get over here and they dream, and they are huge dreamers. They had to be dreamers to make all the effort to come here, and surprise, surprise, you got to have a dream, as the song says, if you want to make a dream come true. So A, practice back from the future thinking. Back from the future thinking is a quality practiced by the most exceptional people in our society. Back from the future thinking means that you put yourself here and you imagine that your dream is up on this mountaintop at a great distance, maybe several years out. And then you project forward. You throw yourself forward 5 years to where your goal is, and you look back, and you imagine you're already there, and you look back to where you are today, and you say, what would I have done to get to where I want to go? This ability to look back from a future position to where you are and see the steps that you might have taken to get there is very powerful. When I do strategic planning for corporations, I have a very simple exercise that you can use. I say, imagine 5 years have passed, and this company is superb in every way. What does it look like? What are we doing? What size of volume do we have? What size of profitability? What is the internal climate? What are the relationships like in this company? Who's here? Who's no longer here? What is our reputation in the marketplace? What is our market? What products and services do we have? What's our level of profitability? In other words, imagine that 5 years have passed and we have achieved all our goals in the company. What does it look like? And then, what would we have to do starting from where we are to make that a reality 5 years from now? This ability, back from the future thinking, to dream big dreams and then think back on what you'd have to do today to get there has an enormous impact. B, create a dream list and imagine your ideal lifestyle. Now, a dream list is where you make out a list of all the things that you would want to be and have and do in life if you had no limitations. If you're married, you should sit down with your spouse after this seminar and say, honey, let's imagine that 5-10 years from now, we could have everything we want in life. House, home, cars, travel, everything else. And a gentleman I spoke to at the break told me that he went through one of our seminars 10 years ago. And at that time, his goals were he wanted to make $1 million, he wanted to travel all over the place, he wanted to live in the San Francisco Bay Area. He's just passed $2 million net worth. He's traveled to 33 countries and he lives in the Bay Area. Wrote it all down 10 years ago. Isn't that great? And you can have the same success, but you can't hit a target you can't see. So start off by dreaming and then write down your dreams. Fantasize. Just say, honey, if we could be, have, do anything we wanted for ourselves and our family, what would it be? Health, happiness, home, car, travel, kids, school, everything that you want. Just write it down like kids. Don't say, oh, we can't afford that, we didn't do that, shut up. That's for mediocre people. Mediocre people are always shooting themselves in the foot. Not you. What you do is you imagine no limitations. And then once you have your dreams listed out, you say, which of these are closer to realization, which are further? Which of these are the most exciting? Because the more exciting it is, the more motivation you'll have to achieve it. Which of these could we put off till later? And go to work on your dreams. Now, the second quality of self-made millionaires always allow themselves to dream. Number two is do what you love to do. There are many people, by the way, many self-made millionaires who will tell you that any one of these is the most important. But altogether, wow. Do what you love to do. Why do you do what you love to do? We've talked about it before. It's because it's only when you're doing what you love that you'll have the energy and the enthusiasm and the passion to overcome all the obstacles that you'll experience. And you will experience endless obstacles, endless difficulties, frustrations, crises, setbacks, disasters. I cannot tell you, Henry Ford went broke, bankrupt 3 times before he invented the automobile. It's an interesting thing. They did an article in Forbes magazine last year on garages and the garages that were the starting points of great fortune. Henry Ford was living in a rented house and he had a rented garage. And he worked in this garage on his car. And he finally got the car put together. He was 42 years old and it worked. But the garage was made of brick and it wouldn't go out of the garage. It was too big. And he went to the owner of the garage and he said, come and see what I've got. And the owner came and looked at it and he said, how does it work? He said, it's like a carriage without horses. He said, geez, he said, that is incredible. And the owner went and got a sledgehammer and broke down the wall of his garage so Henry Ford could drive it out. Can you imagine the vision of a person like that? Back in the 60s, when the first couple of franchises of McDonald's were just getting going, they ran into money problems. Ray Kroc bought out the McDonald brothers. He owned it. There were serious financial problems. They were behind. Bank was going to foreclose on them. They were trying to stay in business and generate enough cash flow. So Ray Kroc went to some of his suppliers. One of his suppliers was Coca-Cola. He said, look, he said, I've got my back against the wall here. I've got to have longer credit. He said, I can't pay you, but I've got to stay in business. I've got to have Coke. And they said, tell us about your business. He said, this is my concept. A standardized process of high-quality, low-priced hamburgers, malts, French fries across the country. They said, that is a great idea. He said, Ray, we'll back you as long as it takes. Go for it. And with that backing, he was able to get through his cash flow crunch and build the biggest franchise in the world. And today, McDonald's carries only Coca-Cola products, and they are the biggest consumers of Coca-Cola products in the world. In the world. Vision. Anyway, so doing what you love to do. Doing what you love to do, and do what you love to do, and remember, you're going to have all kinds of problems. But doing what you love to do will give you the passion to overcome your difficulties. A, decide what you enjoy. Remember, you don't start off with a way to make money. You start off looking at something that you really enjoy, and then find a way to make a living doing it. This is the great secret to success in America. Determine what you really enjoy doing, and then find a way to make a living. Look at this incredible woman with quilting. And people, everybody would have told her 1,000 times, there's no way you can make a living quilting. She's now one of the most successful people in her business. She's a respected authority. She's making more money than she's ever made in her life, starting from nothing. And the world is full of success stories of people who said, I'm going to stop doing something somebody else wants me to do. I'm going to do something I want to do. And I'm going to put my whole heart into it. If you can't put your whole heart into it, don't do it. You'll never be successful, and you'll never be happy, and sooner or later you'll be on to something else. Number three is commit to excellence in your chosen field. I've said this 100 times, I'll say it over and over again, commit to being in the top 10%. Why? It's because all the rewards go to the people in the top 10%. All the happiness, all the respect, all the esteem, all the joy go to the people in the top 10%. I have a good friend, his name is Neil, and he used to work for a church school. And he taught music, and he taught some other subjects, and he worked in the choir, and he worked in with the church, and they paid him peanuts. And he lived in a little house with his family on the grounds. And he was willing to do it because, you know, he was very, very devoted to his church and to his religion. But then they'd go to the church services on Sunday where the parishioners would come. And he would be literally ignored and pushed aside, as were the other staff who were working all their lives at peanuts. And the people who got the front pews, the people who were shaking hands and smiling and beaming were the big contributors, the ones who contributed money to the church. The people who worked there all the time were just treated kind of insignificantly. And at one point, he finally snapped. He said, I'm tired of being treated insignificantly. The fact of the matter is, it's the people who come here once a week or maybe once a month but give big bucks are the ones that get the respect. So he said, I'm going to do something else and do it well. And he went into a completely different business, left the church. Took him 6 years to get to the top of his field. And now he makes beautiful money. He drives a lovely Mercedes. He's got a beautiful home. And when he goes to church, they all come and shake hands with him. And just his feet, too. Because he found that the key to success is being really good at what you want to do. Do you know, it's an interesting point. E.M. Forster, the author, was once asked, why is it that you write? And he said, I write to earn the respect of the people I respect. And that's an interesting observation because almost everything we do in life is to earn the respect of the people we respect. At the very least, not to lose the respect of the people we respect. We will sacrifice extraordinary amounts to maintain the respect of the people we respect. In fact, one of the most important rewards of success, according to the surveys among successful people, is I know that I'm highly respected by the people I respect. My parents, my spouse, my children, my peers, my colleagues, and the public. Respect is big stuff. And who is the most respected person in any field? The top people. Are the mediocre people respected by anybody? I'm going to quit. So quit, who cares? Nobody'll know you're gone. Be sure you ring a bell when you leave, you know? So we know you're gone. But the top people, all the rewards flow to the top people. And the only thing that stops you from being one of the best people is you haven't decided to be yet. There's nothing in talents and abilities. You've got more talent and ability than you could possibly dream of. You just haven't decided to be excellent in your field. And now you've decided, then you will be. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, because they say success or happiness is the progressive step-by-step realization of a worthy ideal. It's when you feel you are moving and making progress toward something that's really important to you, you feel happy. It's not getting there. Getting there and going up on the stage and getting a prize is almost anticlimactic. It's the process of getting better and better and better that makes you feel wonderful about yourself. So even though you're not there, every day you do something that makes yourself a little bit better. You learn a little something, you try a little something, you get a little bit of a response, you know you're getting better, you feel great. So A is resolve to pay any price to join the top 10%. If you took 100% of your income and if you lived in a one-bedroom apartment or a basement shack and what you did is you poured 100% of every penny you could beg, borrow, and steal into becoming a member of the top 10%, it would pay you back in thousands and thousands of percent and would make you rich over time. And most people think, well, you know, I'll wait till I've got a little money, then I'll start investing in myself. I'll wait till I'm really successful, then I'll take them courses. I'll wait till I just got so much money I don't know how to spend it, then I'll buy me a tape set. B, become a do-it-to-yourself project. Become a do-it-to-yourself project. Remember, nobody will do it for you. You're where you are and what you are because of yourself. So go to work on yourself. Your life begins to change when you start, as Jim Rohn says, spending as much time working on yourself as you do on your job. Go to work on yourself. By the way, personal development, I've spoken to several people here who told me the same thing. They discovered personal development in the last couple of years and their life has changed forever. That's true. When you discover personal development, your life changes forever. Because once you get on, it's like getting onto the escalator and it just keeps going up. Your life just gets better and better and better with personal development. So your coming here is not the end of a process. Your coming here is what? Okay, number four, develop your unique talents and abilities. My friend Jim Cathcart does a wonderful talk called The Acorn Principle. And basically it says that an acorn is never going to be a pine tree. I mean, it can be a great oak tree, but it can never be a pine tree or a fir tree or an apple tree. So don't try to ever be something other than what you're not. Ride the horse in the direction that it's going. In other words, follow the natural tendency of your own leanings and abilities. Ask, what are your unique talents and abilities? Remember, you're special in all the universe. How are you special? One of the great jobs of life is to find your area of specialness. Where are you special? And A, what has been most responsible for your success in life to date? Look at the things that you've done or the things you've been in. Look at the specific activities that you've engaged in that have been most responsible for your success. What were they? Because you'll find, by the way, one study said that 3% of the things that you do in life count for most of your success, most of your failure. 3% of your decisions are usually more significant than all the other put together. So what are the 3% of things you've done? The particular area of work, the particular area of skill that you enjoyed the most and did the best, got the best results from and the best feedback. What were they? Think about it. Ask other people. Sometimes by asking someone else, what do you think I'd be good at? They'll say, you know, you'd be really good at that. And that's what you've been thinking of for a long time and you never told anybody. People can see you almost like you're in a fishbowl. And they can see you clearly. And B is, what would you choose to do if you won $1 million? What would you choose to do if you won $1 million cash today? You see, whatever you would choose to do if you won $1 million cash is probably what you're designed to do. It's probably what you're meant to do. It's probably what you were designed from the beginning of the universe to do, because there's an instinct. You say, geez, if I had $1 million, I'd do that. And surprise, surprise, that's the thing that you were meant to do. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes you don't know how to do it. Sometimes you're not sure. Sometimes you'd have to make a huge move out of the comfort zone, but that's probably the best thing. Number five, accept 100% responsibility. All self-made millionaires accept responsibility for themselves and their lives. They don't expect anyone to do it for them. They very often get up, finish their schooling, and move 1,000 miles away and start over again. They just simply don't depend on their families or their parents or anyone else. They look to themselves. They have very, very high attitudes of self-reliance. See yourself as self-employed. Now, here's a question. A, as president of your own career, what changes would you make if you had to make any changes? Let's say that your career is like a business turnaround. The business is in trouble. They brought you in as a hotshot. Okay, you're taking charge of as president of this career. What changes would you make to get this career onto the fast track right now? What changes would you make to get your career onto the fast track right now if you had $1 million in the bank and you could do anything and you're totally responsible? That'll give you a little food for thought, won't it? So, B is, why aren't you already financially independent? You want to be financially independent? Why aren't you already financially independent? What's your favorite excuse? I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, male, female, black, white, tall, short, new immigrant, been here for 30 generations. What's your problem? What's your excuse? Now, do you know how you can test your excuses? It's called reality testing. We hold our excuses up to the light to see if they have any substance. Do you know how you can test your excuses? Just ask yourself, is there anyone else who has the same excuse as you who's been successful in any case? How about 2? How about 200? How about 2,000? How about 2 million? How about hundreds of thousands of millions of people since the beginning of the American Republic who've had it worse than you could ever dream of having it in your whole life, who've gone on to accomplish extraordinary things? You see, if there's someone else and lots of other people and hundreds of thousands and millions have had it worse than you, then your excuse is invalid. It has no substance. It's merely a fantasy. It's an illusion that we use not to make progress. So why... Whenever you say, I want to be thin, you say, why aren't you? I want to be financially independent. Why aren't you? I want to be happy. Why aren't you? I want to have a great relationship. Why don't you have one? And where do 80% of the reasons come from? Where are 80% of the reasons? They're inside yourself. We didn't like to say that, did we? We kind of choked on that a bit. 80% of the reasons you're not where you want to be are inside yourself. They're not in the outside world. The outside world, if anything, has been the most favorable in all of history for you achieving your goals. 6, develop a clear sense of direction. Of course, we've talked about that. A clear sense of direction will save you weeks and months and years of hard work because you don't make any false turns. Clear sense of direction. A, determine exactly what you want in every area of life. Determine exactly what you want. Don't be fuzzy. If someone woke you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you should be able to tell them out of a dead sleep exactly what you want. What is your major definite purpose in life? What is it? Do you know exactly? And B, as H.L. Hunt, the billionaire, said, determine the price you're going to have to pay to get it and resolve to pay that price. Now, I'm going to give you a quality that's not even in here, but it's considered by many to be the most indispensable of all qualities of success. It sort of goes with everything else, and it's called willingness. Willingness. And willingness is your willingness to do whatever it takes. Your willingness to refrain from gratification, your willingness to practice self-discipline, self-mastery, self-control, your willingness to take a risk to move out of the comfort zone, your willingness to do what it takes to achieve the goal. You see, if you make a list of 42 things that you have to do to achieve your goal, and you look at that list and you say, if this is what it will take for me to achieve my goal, then I will do it. I will do all 41 things. Then you will. And the most remarkable thing will happen is that you'll never have to do everything that's on the list, but you have to be willing to do everything that's on the list. However, what most people do is they say, well, I'm willing to do everything, but I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to change that. I'm not willing to sacrifice here. I'm not willing to risk in that place. I'm willing to do everything, but not a couple of these things. As a result, nothing ever happens for them. The willingness to do whatever it takes guarantees that you don't have to do everything that it takes, but the lack of willingness to do everything that it takes guarantees that you will not be successful. So, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to do everything that is necessary to achieve your goals? 7, refuse to consider the possibility of failure. Remember, the fear of failure is the number one reason for failure. It's not failure itself, it's the fear of failure. By the way, Kyle told me when he invited me to speak to you, he said, you know, you're going to be speaking to a room full of professional failures. These people are not just amateur failures, they are professional failures. They have failed at so many things in so many ways over the months and years that if we sat any one of them down here, it would take 2 days for them to recount their failures and how they occurred. You're all professional failures. Now, let me ask you, is anybody bleeding anywhere? Is anyone dead from having failed? Is it failure that hurts us? Or is it the fear of failure? It's the fear of failure. And of course, nothing wrong with being a professional failure. Being a professional failure is one of the great guarantors of success. There are no successes without failure. The more failures you have and learn from them, the smarter you get, the more guaranteed you are of being successful when the right opportunity comes along. It's the fear of failure that holds us back. And the more we preoccupy and think about failure, the more likely it is we are to sabotage ourselves, to become paralyzed, to become overwhelmed with doubts and fears. So here's the rules with regard to failure. A, as Henry Ford said, failure is just another way to intelligently begin again. Failure is just another way to more intelligently begin again. That's the attitude. If things don't work out, that's what Henry Ford said after he had mistake after mistake after mistake, just another opportunity to more intelligently begin again. And Napoleon Hill said this, within every obstacle or setback, there lies the seed of an equal or greater opportunity or benefit. In an interview of 4 self-made millionaires on the David Susskind show some years ago, they found that the 4 millionaires had among them an average of 17 failures before they made it. 17 different attempts at different businesses and opportunities or jobs that didn't work out before they found the one that did. Question, did they fail the first 16 times? Or did they get smarter and smarter and smarter and finally reach critical mass, and at critical mass, they were successful? Thomas J. Watson Sr. was once asked, What's the key? The founder of IBM, what's the key to success? He said, if you want to be successful faster, he said, you must double your rate of failure. He said, success lies on the far side of failure. Now, there's a great movie a few years ago. Some consider it to be one of the best movies ever made, Lawrence of Arabia. And the key to the whole movie of Lawrence of Arabia was the taking of Aqaba from the sea. Does anybody remember that movie? And by the way, if you haven't seen it, it was probably 20, 30 years old. It is still absolutely extraordinary. One of the most incredible movies ever made. You cannot turn it off once you've turned it on. Check it out and watch it. What they did is they had to go across what it was called the Devil's Anvil, a piece of desert that nobody could ever go across. So the Turks never protected themselves from the land because nobody could ever attack them from the land side because of this empty desert. So Lawrence and his people had to go across the desert to attack them from the land side, and they did, and they took Aqaba, and they triggered the Arab revolt and turned the tide of war in the Middle East during World War I. The reason I like that movie is because everyone has to go across an empty quarter. Everyone has to go across a desert. Everyone has to go across an area before they reach success on the other side. Success lies on the far side of failure. What is your desert? What is the failure that you have to go through to get there? Remember, nature demands failure or near failure of everyone to see if you really want it. It's almost like it's a game. Let's see if you really want it, big guy. Okay, you say you want to be successful. Okay, take this. See what happens. Read the parable of Job in the Bible, where he was afflicted with every possible affliction to see if he would denounce and curse God. And he never did. And he got across the desert, and he got it all back and more besides. So, number eight, dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. Dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. Lifelong learning is the minimum requirement for success in any field. Lifelong learning, because whatever you know is becoming obsolete at a more rapid rate than ever before. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. If you're not considerably better at what you're doing 1 year from now, said the head of Hewlett-Packard, you're going to be in serious trouble in the marketplace. Whatever you're doing now, you must be considerably better a year from now just to compete. Why is this, by the way? Because everybody else is getting better. You bet your bippy. We're not standing all by ourselves in an empty field. We're surrounded by competition that is voracious and aggressive and hungry and wants to eat our lunch. And if we're not getting better, they are. As a matter of fact, you know what they hope? They hope you aren't getting better. They hope you don't know about continuous learning because that's the key. They're saying today that continuous learning is the key to competitive advantage in every successful business. It can be the only key to sustained competitive advantage, is what Tom Peters says, is the ability to learn and apply faster than your competition. Because if they can learn and apply faster than you, if their rate of change is greater than your rate of change, then the end is in sight. So, number 8A, read 1 hour in your field every day. Remember, 1 hour in your field will translate into a book a week, 50 books a year, 500 books in 10 years. If you go into the homes of the wealthiest people in your city, your town, your community, what's the very first thing you see to the right or the left of the front door?
Library.
A library. Now I have a question for you. This is a toughie. This is a toughie. Are you ready? Did these people become wealthy and then go out and buy books? Or did they buy books, and as they moved from their small apartment to a larger apartment to a home to a larger home, did the number of books that they had expand to the point where they finally had so many books that they said, in our next home, dear, let's make sure we have a place for all the books. They had to have a library because they had so many books. So the chicken does come before the egg. B, attend every seminar you can find. Attend every seminar you can find. Get good, get better, be the best. Continuous learning is the key. And C is listen to audio programs in your car. Turn your car into a university on wheels. Never allow your car to be moving during the day when you are not learning something. Remember, it takes about 6 exposures to new information before you absorb it at a subconscious level and can use it automatically. So let's get on with it. But imagine 500 to 1,000 hours. If you have an average 7 hours in an audio program, that means that you could listen to 70 audio programs in the course of a year. the equivalent of 30 to 50 books per program? Staggering. Okay, number 9, develop a workaholic mentality. This is another key. Give yourself a score of 1 to 10. Do you have a workaholic mentality? Are you a hard worker? Do you work like the blazes, or do you just do a little bit less? A workaholic mentality. We find that all self-made millionaires are characterized, as I said earlier, by hard work. They work so hard. They start early. They work hard. They hit it. And they work harder and they work late. They work 50 to 60 hours, 50 to 60 to 70 hours per week. And they do that 5-6 days a week, sometimes 7, and they do it for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And you say, wow, it sure is hard to be successful. Really? Try failure. Sure is expensive to be well-educated, yes? Try ignorance. So A, use the 40-plus formula for success. The 40-plus formula is my own invention. The 40-plus formula simply says that there is no one, and I've studied it now for a quarter of a century, there is no one anywhere, in any field, in any area of endeavor, who is successful working only 40 hours a week. The sale of the 40-hour week to Americans has been the greatest travesty of justice and the greatest destroyer of hopes and futures that has ever existed. There are no successful, happy, financially independent people who work 40 hours a week. And we've been led to believe you're supposed to work 40 hours a week. And if you can't do it in 40 hours a week, it's not worth doing. Did people tell you that? Always losers say that. People who are basically no hopers, we say, and who have no future always say, oh, if you can't do it in 40 hours a week, it's not worth doing. Really? These people have no future. These people have a very shaky present, a very uncertain future. Everything over 40 hours a week. And do you know what the average working person works in America today? People say, geez, I'm working so hard. Americans work so hard. Do you know how much they actually work? It's about 32 hours, according to time and motion studies. They work an 8-hour day, but they really don't. They take about half an hour to an hour to get warmed up and about half an hour to an hour to warm down. And they take an extra half hour for lunch and maybe an extra half hour, 20 minutes for coffee. And they kind of cruise around and talk to people and see how things are going and phone home to see what they're having for dinner and make their own social arrangements and cut out to go shopping and things like that. I know you don't do any of these things, but it's amazing how many people do. And so they're only working 32 hours. And what is happening is, alas, the work isn't going away. And so now they're feeling pressured and they're running and they're trying to catch up with work that they wasted the whole darn day that they could have done first thing this morning. They say, geez, I'm working so hard. No, you're just physically present a good part of the time. You're not necessarily working. The 40-plus formula says 40 hours per week gives you survival. That's all you get. You survive. You tread water. You make no progress. In fact, your life is precarious and your job is at risk every minute of every day. Everything over 40 hours is for success. So you can tell where you're going to be in 2, 3, 4, 5 years by how many hours you put in over 40 each week. That's all. You can just take a look. If a person works 45, that's management. 45 to 50, senior management. 50 to 55, executive management. 55 to 60, CEO, entrepreneurial, self-made millionaire level. 60 to 65, guaranteed great future. And B is when you work all the time you work. This is the most important of all. This is one of the great slogans of life, work all the time you work. Don't play. Don't socialize. Don't talk to your friends. Don't read the newspaper, drink coffee, go for lunch. Just work. When you go to work, work. Like a horse coming out of the gate at Santa Anita, clang, run for the roses when you work. Get the reputation in the next year of being the hardest working person in your industry. If they send somebody in from an outside firm to find out who works the hardest in this business, they're going to come back and report to your boss. I'll tell you what he does. He's the hardest working person in this company. Everybody else is third, fourth, and fifth place. There's no second behind him or her or whatever it happens to be. That reputation for being a hard worker will virtually guarantee your success and your happiness, because the harder you work, the better you get. The harder you work, the more energy you have. The harder you work and the better you get, the more energy you have, the higher is your self-esteem. And the higher is the respect and esteem of others. And the more you're paid and the more opportunities you have, and the doors open up for you on all sides. And the opposite is the other direction. The less you work, the more tired you are. Less you get done, lower your self-esteem, less respect you have, and the doors of opportunities one by one just close. One by one, slam. They're pushed shut from the other side. Okay. Number 10, get around the right people. Get around the right people. Get around successful people. A, develop your own mastermind network. Develop your own mastermind. Set a group of three or four people that you get together with on a regular basis, people like the people in this room, and you share ideas and you share concepts. I had a good friend who formed a mastermind deal, and it was a very interesting one. He found himself going to the office at 5 o'clock in the morning before he started and reading and listening to tapes and planning his goals. And one day, a friend of his said, you know, how come in the office so early? He said, well, I like to read. And he said, how would you like it if I came in and we just sort of talked about what we're reading, shared ideas. Before the year was over, they had 16 people from different industries. They all met and they got there for 5:30, I think it was maybe 5:30 to 7 for an hour and a half. And once a week, they read a book. They signed a book, got copies for everybody. They read the book and one person reported, then they all had to comment on the book. Then when they found audio tapes, they all got copies of audio tapes. Within a year, every one of those people was at the top of their industry. Once a week, they were showing up, discussing a success book, discussing a success program, talking about goals, and then they'd meet for lunch afterwards, and they'd socialize at their homes, and they literally created electricity around them because of their relationship. You can do the same thing. B is fly with the eagles, as we said before, and get away from negative people. Get away from them. Introduce them to each other and run. Score of 1 to 10. Are the people in your life top positive people, the kind of people who are optimistic and going somewhere with their life or not? Remember, negative people will drag you down and rob you of success more than anything else. Number 11, be prepared to climb from peak to peak. Remember that all of life is a series of peaks and valleys, ups and downs. So, it's an endless cycle of what is called cycles and trends. And when you're up, recognize that you'll be down. And when you're down, recognize that you'll be up. It's the long haul that counts. As Emerson once said, it's the average performance over time that counts. Sometimes you'll have a great day. Sometimes you'll have a lousy day. When you have a great day, you say, well, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. When you have a good day, you say, great. What can I learn from this that'll keep me higher longer? But remember, life is all cycles and trends, peaks and valleys. B is success is a matter of two steps forward, one back. This is a great rule, by the way. It's two steps forward, one back. Two steps forward, one back. You take two steps, one, two, and then back. One, two, and then back. One, two, and then back. It's called a course correction or a minor course adjustment. Don't worry about it. When you have the two steps forward, wonderful. When you have the step back, just regroup and respond and get on with it. All of life is a series of hills and valleys, forward and backward, up and down. And when you go through the cycles and trends, don't let it bother you. Some people, when they go through a cycle or trend, they weep and cry and gnash their teeth when they're down. Don't do that. Mike Todd, the famous filmmaker, went bankrupt several times, and they said, what's it like to be poor? He said, I've never been poor. He said, I've been broke lots of times, but I've never been poor. Poor is a state of mind. I may have been without money, but I've never doubted I'd be back. He said, I've never been poor. You are never poor. Even if you lose everything, you're not poor. You're just temporarily out of funds, right? Number 12, develop resilience and bounce back. Resilience is the key element of being unstoppable. You see, if you're resilient, you're like leather. You keep coming back. You're like a basketball. Whack, 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 whack. Just keep coming back off the canvas. Oh, Adrian! You know, you come, nothing stops you. It's the kind of person that you want to be. And resolve in advance that you will bounce rather than break. This, by the way, is a technique we could talk about at length, but I found as a young person, if you make a decision in advance, that no matter what happens to you, it won't stop you. No matter what happens to you, you won't quit. No matter what happens to you, just keep on keeping on. Then when it does happen to you, and it's inevitable, nothing will stop you because you're ready. You're already psychologically prepared to bounce. Person says, what would happen if you lost everything? Well, I just bounce back and do something else. Then if you lose everything, what are you going to do? I'm just going to bounce back and try something else. Well, how can you do that? Because I've already decided. I've already prepared. All successful people prepare psychologically for reversals. So when they come, they're ready. They shrug it off. They don't worry about it. They just bounce rather than break. And B is the healthy personality rebounds quickly after every adversity, after every disappointment. This is the mark, by the way, of the healthy personality. Anybody can be positive when things are going well, but it's how quickly you can recover when things go wrong that is the measure of how well you're doing. Has anybody ever had a physical examination? In a physical examination, they have you touch your toes or do some kind of exercise, and they test your resting pulse rate, right? Before you do the exercise, and then 2 minutes after you've done the exercise, they test your resting pulse rate again. Is that correct? We've all had that. What does that indicate to them? It basically tells you how healthy you are, because your recovery rate is the key measure. If you do a few sets of exercises and then you're exhausted for 10 minutes and your heart's off the clock and you're pouring perspiration, not a good sign. But if you do some vigorous exercises and then they test you 2 minutes later and your heart rate is back down again, you're very healthy. They call this an athlete's heart rate, a good resting pulse rate. It's the same thing with healthy personality. If you get knocked down, bang, which is like a physical exertion, how quick do you bounce back? It's okay, by the way. Whenever we have a disappointment, the psychologists tell us, you will experience what is called, I call it an emotional punch in the emotional solar plexus. You feel stunned, almost like with a stun gun, boom. You feel stunned when you have a disappointment. You go, oh, geez, you damn. In fact, there are people in this very room who have considered quitting. And we know who you are. Because everybody considers quitting at times. When you get punched, poof, in the emotional solar plexus and boom, and you get disappointed or let down or frustrated or betrayed or hurt or something else, you say, oh, darn. Or something to that effect. But how fast do you bounce? That's all that matters. Remember this, sometimes when you're just down and knocked onto the canvas and your gut, your wind is knocked out of you emotionally, what you need is a good night's sleep. And when you're well rested, you're right back up again. So it's okay. Nothing wrong with thinking about quitting. As long as you don't quit. It's okay to think about it, okay to talk about it, okay to plan it, as you all have, just don't do it. Number 13, unlock your inborn creativity. Unlock your inborn creativity. I mentioned this before, is that you are a genius. You are a genius. A genius. You're so smart, you're dangerous. You're so smart, you should probably be put in a cage and taken to the circus as an anomaly. That's how smart you are. Do you know what stops you from performing at genius levels? I've studied this for over a decade now. Do you know what it is? Your own self-concept, your own lack of appreciation for how smart you really are. Every person here has had an experience where they've been working on something and they've come up with a brilliant idea that's worked perfectly. Have you had that experience? Just like a flash. It's called a sudden flash of the obvious. It's just like lightning, boom, the light bulb goes off. You've had these ideas. Now, having had these ideas at any given time is proof of something. What is it proof of? That you can do it. That you have the capacity. Now, what are successful people? They're just people who have that experience more regularly. But the very fact that you have had these brilliant flashes of insight and ideas throughout your life means that the capacity is right there. It's latent. It's just lying right under the surface. That you're a potential genius. You're a walking time bomb of creativity. Somebody just has to come along and push the right button, or you have to have the right problem, and bang, the creativity goes off. If you can accept how smart you really are, then you'll start to be smarter at a level that you cannot believe. The reason we don't perform like geniuses is because we don't think we're very creative. And if we had parents that told us about a dumb idea we had, or friends that told us they were dumb, or when we came up with an idea it didn't work, we can selectively perceive our past as proving that we're not creative. But creativity is latent. Can you breathe in? Can you breathe out? Say yes. Then you're creative. It's a natural human capacity. So, A, use clear goals pressing problems, focused questions. Clear goals, these are the three major stimuli to creativity. Clear goals, pressing problems, and clearly focused questions. They stimulate creativity. The better questions you ask, the better you think. The more pressing the problem, the more creative you are to solve it. The more intensely desired the goal, the more brilliant you become in finding ways to achieve it. And B is practice mindstorming on your goals on a regular basis. Now, mindstorming is a very simple process. Mindstorming will make you rich. I can spend a half day teaching it, but since you're so smart, God knows you're brilliant, I'll just teach it to you quick. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Just take a piece of paper, take your major goal, put it at the top of the page in the form of a question, and write 20 answers to the question. If you want to increase your income to $50,000 next year, then what you do is you take a piece of paper and you write 20 answers and you write them in the present tense. That old present tense again. And so you say, what can I do to earn $50,000 in the next 12 months? Good. Write it down. And then think of every single thing that you can do. I can work longer. I can work smarter. I can upgrade my skills. I can change my job. I can work at a second income opportunity. I can change my position. I can start a little earlier, work a little later. I can do this. I can do that. Write down every single thing that you can think of. And I can promise you this. Now, not five or six answers, but you must force yourself to write 20. This mindstorming process has made more people rich than any other thinking process in the history of America. At the end of this process, which you will find extremely difficult, pick one goal and implement it immediately. And what this does, it's like pumping with a pump and getting the pump going. If you just take one idea and implement it immediately, it keeps the stream of ideas flowing. If you do this on a regular basis, you'll generate idea after idea after idea. And the more you do it, the smarter you'll get and the more ideas you'll have, and your mind will start to crackle and dance and sparkle like a large Christmas tree with ideas all day long. This is one of the most incredible exercises. Anybody done this, by the way, as a result of, does it work? It works like a dam. It works if you work. Number 14, become an unshakable optimist. Become an unshakable optimist. Give yourself a score of 1 to 10. What percentage of the time are you a generally positive and constructive person? Be an optimist. 95% of your emotions are determined by how you talk to yourself. 95% of your emotions are determined by how you talk to yourself. If you talk to yourself in a positive way, you feel good. If you talk to yourself in a negative way, you feel negative. If you talk to yourself positively all the time and think about your goals and talk about your goals and get around with other people who talk about their goals and read books about goals and listen to tapes about goals and go to courses where we talk about goals and success, you become a very positive person. And if you go to the opposite, you become a really negative person. You're a real downer, you know. The reason why people are upset and angry is because they think and talk about their problems all the time. The reason people are successful is because they think and talk about their goals in the future all the time. And your explanatory style determines how you react and respond. Can you guess what a person's explanatory style is? This is based on 25 years of research in cognitive psychology. Can you guess what a person's explanatory style is? How you explain things to yourself. How you interpret things. In NLP, they talk about framing and reframing. Interpreting, reinterpreting. So something happens, you say, that's good. That's good. Well, what happened? Someone stole your car. That's good. That's good. Now I can get the car that I really wanted. The insurance company will pay for the old one, and so on and so on. That's good. That's good. You got a ticket. Oh, that's good. That's good. I got a ticket, a speeding ticket. That'll make me slow down. That means I'll live much longer, and I'll be able to dance at my grandchildren's wedding because that speeding ticket made me so mad. Wow, that's good. You know, somebody gives you a problem. That's good. That'll teach me how to be more smart with people in the future. Always look for the good in every situation. Look for the valuable lesson in every situation. But especially talk to yourself. Say, I like myself. Say it.
I like myself.
I'm the best.
I'm the best.
I can do it.
I
love my work. I'm responsible.
I'm responsible.
Of course, you talk to yourself like that. That is the conversation of the highest performers. And remember, if you do what the best people do, then you must be one of them. You're right. You must be the best. And if you do all of those things, you become
unstoppable.
Number 15, dedicate yourself to serving others. This is really where the great joy and rewards in life come from, serving others. Always, always do more than you're paid for. If you never do more than you're paid for, you'll never be paid more than you're getting now. Always do more than you're paid for. Nobody can ever stop you from doing more than you're paid for. And B, the great rule for success is always go the extra mile. Remember, there are no traffic jams on the extra mile. Do you have a demanding employer? Here's the rule. Take advantage of your boss. Take advantage of your company. Use your boss. Use your company by always doing more than you're paid for, by learning more about the job, by putting more in than anybody could possibly require. Look upon your job as a springboard to great success. Always do more than you're paid for. And you'll learn more, you'll be respected more, you'll accomplish more, you'll learn faster. Absolutely amazing. People that work from 9 to 5, God bless them. Number 16, develop a reputation for speed and dependability. This is another quality of self-made millionaires. Speed and dependability. Do it fast. Develop the ability to separate the relevant from the unimportant. What's important? The very worst use of time is to do very well what need not be done at all. Don't do it if it need not be done at all. And B, create a sense of urgency. Once you've decided what's important, do it now. Do it now. When I worked for this gentleman many years ago, there were many other people in the company. It was a big company, and I was the last person in. You know, I was just a little guy in a little cubicle down the hall. By the time it finished, I had my own suite of offices. I had my own secretary. I could tell you wonderful things, but it was because of one thing. Is I made the decision that whenever he asked me to do something, I would do it immediately. I would do it fast, and I'd get it back to him quickly. He was the control on my career. And I would always go to him and I'd say, I would like more to do. I'd like more responsibility. Give me more. More, like the bowl. More. And he'd say, well, why don't you just take care of this, take care of that. I want more. I want more. I've got more time. Well, you're already pretty busy. No, I've got time. I'll do more. Give me more. I was at him like a dog. All right, finally he'd give me something else to do and I'd take it like a dog throwing a stick. Bring it back. Give me more. And within a couple of months, he'd give me something to do. He'd give me something to do on a Friday afternoon. I'd work all weekend and have it on his desk Monday morning, 10 o'clock. And sometimes I did that, and it turned out that schedules got all screwed around, and it was absolutely essential by Monday morning at 11 o'clock. And he told me, you don't have to start work on it till next week, but it was all done. And the bankers came in, and the proposals were laid out, and it made an enormous difference. And it suddenly dawned on, if I want something done quick, I'll give it to Brian. And if I have something that's important, I better give it to Brian. And if I have something that's big and important that has to be done fast, I'd better give it to Brian. And so one by one, he started giving me the task, and whatever it was, I did it. And then I'd do something else, and I'd do something else. By the time I was finished, I was running 3 divisions. I had staffs in 3 countries. I was running projects. I was importing vehicles. I was doing proposals with banks. I was building shopping centers and office buildings. And every single time, I got everything under control. I'd go back, and I'd say, give me more, more. And he just kept giving me more and more. He paid me more in the course of my working for him than he'd ever paid any executive in his history by the time it was all over. And my 2 things were, give me more and do it fast. If you do that, by the way, whew, boy, will you ever come to the attention of the key people in your life. Number 17 is be impeccably honest with yourself and others. You know this. This is the key. If you want to be successful in life, develop a reputation of impeccable honesty. Have it known far and wide that you're the kind of person anyone can trust, everyone can trust. Be true to yourself in everything. Honesty begins with yourself. Be perfectly true to yourself. And B is live in truth with others. Tell the truth, live in truth, be the truth. When people think of honesty and integrity, you want them to think of you in the same breath. Because you never compromise. You always tell the truth. You're always perfectly straight. You're always honest with yourself and others. Number 18, and this is great, we talked about it before, concentrate single-mindedly on one thing at a time. If you can do this, you can conquer the world. It's a key quality of leadership. If you can't do this, you'll always have to work for someone who can. So set priorities. Use the 80-20 rule and always consider possible consequences. Now, this is important because you can always tell how important something is by what the consequences are of doing it or not doing it. For instance, is a coffee break important? No, because there's no consequences. You could become the finest coffee breaker in the history of America. You could take coffee breaks 2, 3, 4 times a day for 30, 40, 50 years of your career and become the finest coffee breaker in the history of the American Republic, and it would have absolutely zero impact on your life and career is getting an assignment done and getting it done well and checking the figures accurately and getting it into your boss quickly. Is that important? Yes, because it has enormous consequences for the future. Always keep thinking, what are the consequences? What are the possible consequences of doing this or not doing it well? And B, single handling. The great characteristic of high performers is once you start on something, single handle. Stay with it till it is 100% complete. Stay with it until it's 100% complete. Single handling. Start it and stay with it. Make sure it's the most important thing and then stay with it until it's done. Every completed task is a source of energy, enthusiasm, and heightened self-esteem. When you pick an important task and throw your whole heart into it and stay with it till it's done, I have a businessman friend once who used to work all night on his major tasks. And he'd get up in the morning, he'd be finished at 5 or 6 in the morning, and the sun would be up, and he felt like $1 million. And he had energy to burn all day long. He accomplished more in his career and made more money than anyone else around him. Because once he started something, he stayed with it till it was done. Number 19, be decisive. All self-made millionaires are decisive. All self-made millionaires make a decision. Usually any decision is better than no decision at all. Be decisive. Can you imagine a person who's successful who's indecisive? Well, I don't know. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't. Yes, no. Let me think about it. Wah, 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 wah. Why are people indecisive, by the way? Primary reason? Fear of failure. They're afraid of making a mistake. Nobody's indecisive if they've got any guaranteed answer. All decisions, by the way, entail risk because there's never any guarantee of the future. But successful people are not necessarily people who make the right decisions every time, are they? They are people who make their decisions right. In other words, once they make a decision, they get feedback and they self-correct. Take time to think, plan, and decide. Take time to think, plan, and decide. The bigger the decision is, the more time you need to take to think about it. Remember, smart people don't make important decisions fast. They take the time to evaluate them carefully and then act decisively and be prepared to accept feedback and self-correct. Accepting feedback and self-correcting is the mark of the peak performer. Many people can't accept feedback. They can't accept the fact they may have made a mistake. So what they do is they bluff and bluster and they get angry and upset and defensive. But successful people are concerned about what's right, not who's right. They're concerned about what's right, not being right. They're concerned about the ultimate result, not who contributed to the decision. So they're willing to change. Flexibility is the number one quality with decision making. Number 20 is back everything you do with the twin qualities of courage and persistence. Now, these are twin qualities. They're almost the flip side of a coin, of the same coin. A, courage is the ability to launch with no guarantees of success. We talked about this earlier. It's the ability to launch. In a 12-year study done at Babson College, they found an interesting difference between the people who became great successes after leaving Babson College. By the way, Babson College is one of the oldest and most respected faculties of entrepreneurship. They teach entrepreneurial business and management. So they followed people who took the entire course, including an MBA in entrepreneurial management, and they followed them after several years, 12 years, and they found out who succeeded and who failed, and they found out the difference. And you know what the difference was? Is that people who succeeded in entrepreneurship launched. They got an idea and they plunged. They went ahead with it and they made it up and they figured it out and they fixed it up and they learned as they went along. The ones who failed to succeed are the ones who are still waiting for everything to be just right. Well, it's not just right yet. We have to do one more check. It's not just right yet. And years had gone past, and they were still waiting for things to be just right. And as you know, things will never be just right. They'll never be just right. And B, persistence is the ability to endure in the face of all difficulties. Persistence is the ability to endure in the face of all difficulties. You see, in a way, anybody can launch. Not a big deal. But to endure, that is really something. And the final quality, number 21, which my friend Kopp Kopmeyer told me was the most important of all qualities for success, he said, learn from the experts, was number one. He said, resolve to persist in any goal that you set for yourself was number two. He said, but practice self-discipline. He said, self-discipline is the most important single quality of character. Self-discipline means that you have the ability to make yourself do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Make yourself do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Anybody can get out of bed if they slept 12 hours and they're perfectly rested and it's the middle of the day. It's the ability to make yourself get up at 6 o'clock and make yourself put on your exercise clothes and exercise and make yourself crack that book rather than watch the television or read the paper. It's the ability to get yourself going early and keep yourself going late. Self-discipline is and always has been the foundation of character and the guarantor of great success. Remember that B is persistence, is self-discipline in action. And each time you persist, and your self-discipline gets stronger. And each time your self-discipline gets stronger, your self-esteem goes up. And when your self-esteem goes up, you persist even more. And your self-discipline gets even stronger, and you persist even more. And eventually you become unstoppable.
This is the end of this disc. The program continues on the next CD.